Okay, one of the most fascinating things about Maaseh Bereishis is something is the creation of Zman, of time. Now this year Bereishis really gets shortchanged. You have no time to learn Parsh Bereishis. You only have 1 day, 2 days. You know, you need a whole week. You need a whole year to learn Parshas Bereishis. And this year Simchas Torah ends on Wednesday, so how many days do you have to be Mavis Sedras, a long Parsha? Only Thursday, Friday. Zelofir. You know, this is gets gypped. Parashas Bereishis. It's a very hard parasha. Everything, all the yisaylis of Amuna, many are Chumash Bereishis. And one of the most fascinating elements of the many things that we learn about creation, but a lot of things that we don't learn. One thing I always like to talk about is the creation of gravity. Where do you find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created gravity? This world, possibly one of the most important elements of creation, which is something which you can't really, hard to define, is gravity. If there's no gravity, we're done. We're finished. You need the biggest problem. When I was in college, there was a professor's name was Rafin. He's got his first name already. Eddie Rafin, that's his first name. Is he okay? He's retired now. Probably he's retired right now for sure, no? Brooklyn College, really? He's still teaching Brooklyn College? Wow. Okay, so he was, I'm sure everyone here knows Brooklyn College in Ingersoll. He had the entire fifth floor of Ingersoll all for himself and his PhD students. And what did they do there? They worked for NASA. They had a contract with NASA, and they prepared experiments to be done on the space shuttle. What? The fifth. In my day, it was. All the labs. I used to have to go up there and talk to him to different whatever. He was a brilliant. He used to work for NASA. He told me that he quit because he had to be on call on Shabbos. Many things they do on NASA. There's no such thing as zman. When it comes to NASA, there's no such thing as time. You know, the Shabbos, you have to be on call in different parts of the world. They do it. They launch satellites. They do this, do that, and the Shabbos became much too much of an issue, so he had to quit. But he was a brilliant. So I had this very interesting conversation with him. He told me that the biggest problem about space exploration is gravity. Okay, if you watch Star Trek, you ever wonder how come Star Trek, no one's flying in the air? You go Star Trek, it's like, you know, they're all grounded. How come they're all grounded? What do you mean? If you're in outer space, there's no gravity, you should be flying around. You never see on Star Trek anyone flying around on the Enterprise. What's going on? It's a fraud. In outer space, there's no gravity, and the body, and this is the big secret, the big law they don't tell you, in that if the body does not experience gravity for a few days, you can suffer permanent damage to your body. And that's why all the space shuttle, they never went more than 7-8 days. Why seven? You spend hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars to send up a space shuttle. So stay there ready for a couple of weeks. What's the rush to come? What's the rush to come back to Earth?
The space stations there. All of the astronauts suffered terribly. Most of them died young.
Even those, right?
The muscle began to fall apart.
What they do on the space station, I have no idea how they're able to survive up there without gravity. But the space shuttle, he told them, he worked on the space shuttle. He worked for the project. He says the reason why the trips are not longer than 7-8 days is because they're going to die. They're going to get very sick. You need gravity. The body needs gravity. If the body does not have gravity, the body stops functioning. The kidneys don't work. The lungs don't work. The heart stops pumping. And he explained to me, I think he told me incredible stuff, is that the human body is perfectly in sync with the exact amount of gravity that the earth pulls on the body. So you'll take a person and you'll put him on Mars. Every planet has gravity. Like you tell kids, how much do you weigh on Mars? How much do you weigh on Pluto? How much do you weigh on Neptune? I don't remember all these things. But every planet has a certain mass.
Right.
And the larger the mass, the more gravity. Whatever. I don't know. I'm sure there are more things that are involved. But if you take a person and put them on another planet, even if you give them oxygen, the person would die very quickly. Because the body needs an extremely precise amount of gravity to function in a healthy way. The body is made to live on Earth. The human body is not made to live in another planet. Primarily, what's necessary is an extremely high precision of gravity for the organs to function in a proper way. It's an incredible thing. And he told me that what do they do the whole day in NASA? So this is what he told me, Professor Rafin. They scratch their heads the whole day, literally, until all their hair comes out, to try to invent artificial gravity. You're not going to hear this in the news. You never heard this in the mainstream media, the MSM, about what do they do the whole day in NASA? What are they giving them trillions of dollars for? They're giving them money to invent artificial gravity. Because if there's no artificial gravity, you ain't going nowhere. I have no idea what they're doing on the space station. Maybe they told me they have to exercise. They probably have to exercise most of the day on the space station in order that they should stay alive. Otherwise, their body, they do these crazy exercises. And they do, they have had some...
There's heart damage, they tell you.
Every organ needs gravity. And he was telling me different techniques. Basically, the only thing they have is they spin. You spin very quickly. You get dizzy. You know, you get dizzy.
Right, that G-forces, those things have been around since the 50s.
So it's interesting when you go to my Sibiratius, I don't remember what we remember. We're in my Sibiratius. We're obviously every element of creation is found in the story of my Sibiratius.
it became a gravity situation. Great gravity.
So every, you know, in my Sibiratius, you don't. You don't have every little thing. Obviously, everything in this that's created in this world is a tolda, is a derivative, is rooted in one of the major elements of my Sibiratius. So where, in which day, in which element of creation is the principle, is the science of gravity, where was that created? Is it created when Hashem, the Me'oros, Birkei HaShemayim, when it says HaShemayim V'Ha'oretz, just the Oretz alone, that already has the principle of gravity. A human being, the Neshama, goes in the head and Kohelas. Who would know that the Neshama gravitates? There's gravity pulling you upward. And then there's gravity pulling you downward. The moon, the Peros, so Elon, the only reason why vegetation goes up is of gravity going up, pulling the fruits, the trees, the vegetation upwards. That's the moon. Let's say you get rid of the moon. Just, you know, blow it up. Get rid of the moon, what's going to happen? The world will come to an end. Nothing would grow. There would be no fruits, no vegetation. Mimeged shamayim imol. What's the pasuk? The pasuk in Hazinu. I think it's the moon is the koyach of gravity that pulls the vegetation upwards to shamayim. And then there's gravity, obviously, the core of the earth, the mass of the earth, that creates a koyach of pulling things, the gashmias of pulling things down. Okay, I just gave you an example that in my Sibiratius, it's not just the shamayim, the orets, the animals, the insects, the fish, human beings, the chava. This world is vast. There are principles of science that are built into creation. Motion, the principle of motion, this whole idea that the earth revolves around the sun, the moon revolves around the earth, all the planets. What?
The earth goes around on its own axis,
on a very precise angle. And the moon also has its angle and the dark side of the moon. No one ever saw the dark side of the moon. How is it that there's such, there are a lot of principles of science that have that. They're not necessarily, we think to a scientist, but they're not necessarily related to the moon, to the sun, to the earth. These are just phenomena that no one really can put their finger on. what point in time in Ma'aseh Bereishis did HaKadosh Baruch Hu add that into the Bria? Hashem, Rashi tells us Hashem, he says in the beginning Hashem made the Shemayim Ba'aretz on day one, but it says on Yom Revi, Hashem put into Shemayim, he put into position the Mo'oros. Yom Revi, I'm getting confused already. On Yom Revi, Hashem put there. So Rashi says that it was soft. It was soft on day one, everything was ready in position, but it wasn't firm. And then when Hashem gave a shout on Yom Revi, oh, now it became perfect. Or perhaps in that Rashi, in that Chazal, is that there was a moon, there was a sun, but the principles of science, of rotation, and the angle, and gravity, and all of these very lofty scientific concepts, they were put in play on Yom Revi. On day one, Hashem made the world, and the sun was here, and the moon is here, and the earth is here, and everything is very boring.
The earth on the axis, according to Gemara, only happened after the flood.
The Mabel. Okay, that's what Moshe is holding on that. The whole thing. All these different things. What exactly? When did the earth turn axis? This. So there's more than meets the eye in my simulations. It's not just the objects. There is the science. There's the metaphysical element of my simulations. I'm assuming that the most metaphysical element of my simulations is the creation of Zaman, linear time, Hoya, Hoive, Veyir, the past, the present. We know that in Shemayim, back in that, what is Hashem's name? Yud Ke Vav Ke. There is no Hebrew word Yud Ke Vav Ke. Yud Ke Vav Ke, according to what I've read, is a composite of three Aramaic words which border on Hebrew, Hoya. Okay, I have to go take out a piece of paper and I have to remember how to all do it. But you take those three words, the past, hoya, hove, viyye, and you overlap them. You cut out all the redundant letters and you put them all together, and those are Aramaic words. Hoya is really Hebrew also, but hove is, I think, is an Aramaic word. Hoya is a Hebrew word. Hove.
It was a Rashi.
Hove. Is an Aramaic word, and yihiye, that's Hebrew. But you take these three words and you overlap them and you remove the letters which are repetitious, and you get yud ke vav ke. So the way we relate to Hashem, it is impossible for a human being to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is infinite, but the only way we as humans can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through a description, a shame. And from all the different elements of Hashem, Hashem has the koyach to punish, to reward. Hashem is mative. Hashem is infinite. The Torah selected one very unique principle which thoroughly separates man versus Hashem. The ultimate difference between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zman. By Hashem, there's no difference between the past, the present, and the future. In the world of Ruchnis, it's all the same. It's only in the Olam HaGashmi is the past was, the future is not yet, and the present is now. This is something which is the extreme degree of Gashmis. Zman is the most dover gashmi in this world. It is what separates to the extreme Hashem and man. That is why Rashi tells us in the very first Rashi in the parasha, and then I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, Lo hayitzrach lahaschil ela me'achoydish hazel lachem roish chadashim ki hi mitzvah rishayna. What? Why should Kiddush HaChodesh, why should Kiddush HaChodesh be the mitzvah Rishayim? There are so many mitzvahs. Tabere Savicha V'yasimecha, wouldn't that be a good example? I guarantee, if you go out into the world and you go take a poll of people who don't know anything, you know, people who know, and you say, okay, tell me, we're going to organize a list of mitzvahs, of Taryag mitzvahs, and we're going to prioritize them based upon you know, what's the most important mitzvah? So what would you say? Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Food. That's right. That's a very good answer. That's a very good answer. Birchas Hamazon. Isn't that a great? Isn't that a great? How about the mitzvah? How about the mitzvah pre-reveal getting married? Wouldn't that be a good mitzvah to start with? What about Kiddush Hashem? And the list, I don't think anyone here or anyone that I know would tell you, oh, you know what the first mitzvah should be in the Torah? It should be Kiddush HaChodesh, the sanctification of Zman. I don't think that's on anyone's radar screen. Yeah, that's a very nice principle of Judaism. It's a very nice thing of Judaism that there's something called the sanctification of Zman, but does that really rate as being the very first mitzvah in the Torah So why is that the mitzvah Rishayna? If the Torah should have been written another way, so you should start with Kibbut Avoeim, Bechalta V'Savata, Kiddush Hashem. Why should that be the mitzvah Rishayna? The answer is, because this is the Olam HaGashmi. This is a physical, mundane world. And the goal is to sanctify the Choyer. The most, the greatest, the most Dover Gashmi, the most physical element in this world is Zman. You say, what are you talking about? Zman is not Gashmi. Zman is, it's not tangible, time.
You're in line with the Maharal on that, that's for sure.
Maybe I got it from the Maharal. Maybe I'm just percolating my mind with the Maharal said. What is the most gashmi thing in this world? Time. Time is because this is what separates man from the Ribbono Shel Olam. By Hashem, Hoya Hoyve V'Yiyeh. Such a concept is impossible by a human being. In the Olam HaGashmi, it's linear. Hoya Hoyve V'Yiyeh. Therefore, Lo hoya tzarchato lahaskel ella miachodesh azel lochem she mitzvah rishona doesn't just mean mitzvah rishona, it's the first. It is the most choshuv. It is the most distinct. It is the mitzvah which sets the tone for the entire Torah, because zeman is the greatest separator between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the purpose of the Torah is to sanctify man, to sanctify Gashmis, this world, and this stands head and shoulders in Gashmis than anything else b'chol Torah kula. Zman, time. Okay, now that Hagdama, let's discuss.
There's another aspect to that.
Yeah.
Hashem hands over control over management
right.
Of time.
Okay. That's maybe a little bit of a different idea. Okay, it's related. Okay. It's a cousin to this idea. But I want to just focus on
you're
this.
You're right.
It's related. It's a related idea. Okay, now let's discuss some different ideas about Zman. First of all, how do you define a day? There's one critical thing that I left out. I want to tell you to prove what I told you. The name of Hashem, how does it appear in the Torah? In the beginning of the Torah. Bereshis bara Elokim, Vayomer Elokim, Vayar Elokim. Yud Kei Vav Kei does not appear. When is the first time that the name that we refer to as Hashem, as the primary name of Hashem, because Elokim doesn't mean the Elokim can be Chol. Advar Elohim Yavo Shneim. Elohim means authority. And we use it referring to Hashem in a holy way. It becomes holy. But you can use the word Elohim referring to an authority in this world, to a bezdin, to a government, to a leader. Elohim is not necessarily a holy word. We have sanctified it when we use it in reference to Hashem. All of the shemos that you're not allowed to erase in the Sefer Torah are not necessarily holy words. They're used elsewhere in Tanakh in a mundane form. The only exception is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is always holy. There's no exception. Every single one of the words that we did, the seven names of Hashem, are used chol, tzivakois, The tzivos hashamayim, the stars. That's a mundane word. El yesh la el yadi.
Shakai
shomar.
Well, that's
die.
Just what it means. Shomar li olam will die.
But it's based upon words that. Okay,
I hear what you're saying, but it's not used.
I'm not saying, but it's not the same level. It's
shakai.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hear what you're saying.
Elohim certainly not. You go through all the words. The only one that is mamish has no meaning. There's no meaning to Yudke Vavke. It's not a nutrikin. Yudke, what is Yudke? So Chazal say it's a composite of Hoya, Hoya, Ve'iya. This is what separates Zman. And what's the proof to this? Because as Rav Mersky said, the very first time that it says the name Yudke Vavke is in Sheni, where it says, Eile Tolo Shavarz Bihi Barom. It says, Biyoim Asois Hashem Elokim Eretz Vishamon. We know Rashi. So Rashi, Hashem, what's this name, Hashem? Rachamim, Midas HaRachamim. Elokim is Midas HaDin. Hashem saw the world could not survive Al Midas HaDin. So Hashem joined Rachamim to Din, Rachamim to dilute the Din. Okay, this is Ikar, this is Rashi, this is the Ikar. But I want to point out, you know why here for the very first time do you find the name Yudke Vavke? Because it says the word Biyoim. Now that the Pasuk tells us there's something in this world called Zman, Eile told us Hashemayim V'aretz Bihi Baram. Biyoim. Ooh, there's something called a day. A day? By Hashem there's no day. It's Hoya, Hoya V'Yia. It's all the same. Zman is all intertwined. When you say a day, today is a day, which means yesterday, there's a yesterday and there's a tomorrow. When you come now.
Well, it says, V'lim shol v'yom v'lailah by yom
v'vi. V'lim shol, yeah, but it's mentioned the concept, but it's not mentioned as a defined element. Right. There, it says, v'hier v'yivoker. V'hier v'yivoker.
Well, that's but, different.
But when it says the limshol biyam of a laila, it's more of a descriptive of what the purpose of this of the sun and the moon is. Here it's telling us Hashem eile told us Hashemayim v'aretz bihi bara when Hashem created that creation biyoyim on the day. What do you mean on the day? From Hashem's perspective, there is no day. By Hashem, it's all the same. Hoya hova v'yia. There's no such thing as a day, but Hashem created the world on a day. Hashem is a calendar. Google calendar for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hack in to Hashem's Google calendar and see what he has planned for today. There's no such thing. By Hashem, it's all the same. All of a sudden, Bereishis, the pasuk over here is ascribing Zeman to Hashem. You can't do that. You can't ascribe time to Hashem. But the pasuk is, Bihi bo re'om, biyoim, on the day, asois, Hashem Elokim, Eretz v'shamoim. Oh, you want it? Bereishis, they didn't say Zman. Bereishis bodo Elokim, es Hashamayim v'es Eretz. It doesn't say the day, doesn't give you a Zman when the world was created. The world was created. Bereishis bodo Elokim. Doesn't tell you a time. Here in Sheni, it says, time. Biyoim. On that day, asois. What should it say? Elokim. It should say, biyoim, barom, biyoim, asois, Elokim. Shamayim. Just like it says, Bereishis bara Elokim. Why in Sheni does it add Yudke Vavke? Because here is the difference. Here, we're talking about Zman. In Bereishis Bara Elokim, there is no Zman. No Zman, there's no Yudke Vavke. I said that. So Erev Voker, it's Vayi Erev Vayi Voker Yom Echad. It's okay, no, that's the concept. It's not the Bereishis. In Echanami, this was part of the process. Hashem did create Zman, right? Erev Vayivoker was a creation of the Zman of the first day, a creation of the Zman of the second day, a creation of Zman. But before the creation of Zman,
the difference between light and dark, that's what it says. It doesn't say, at that point, it doesn't say night.
Erev Evoker, it doesn't say Yom. It doesn't say Erev Evoker, it says Yom Echad. Yom Echad. The days were now in being created. But let's go back to the beginning of creation. Bereshis. Whether you want like the Targum in the beginning or like Rashi towards the beginning, Boro Elokim. Creation. Boro. Shani. We're going back to creation. Ele Solidois Hashamayim Viharetz, right? Bereshis. Boro Elokim is Hashamayim Viharetz. The first pasuk in Shani is repeating the first pasuk of the Torah with only one difference. Well, two differences. Two differences. Number one, it says the word Biyoyim. And number two, it says Hashem. The told us, okay, there's more things. But if you compare the first pasuk in the Torah and the first Aliyah to the first pasuk in the second Aliyah. And what are the two major things that stand out? In the first pasuk of the Torah, the word Yudke Vavke does not appear, whereas it does appear in the first pasuk in Sheni. Number two, the word Biyoyim does not appear in the first pasuk of the Torah, and it does appear in the first pasuk in Sheni. Why? Because these two things go together. When we want to ascribe to our Kadosh Baruch Hu a principle of Zman, which he really doesn't have, but being that the Torah was given to us and we have a right to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you want to give, now when we relate to Hashem, know your place. Know your place. You said that Hashem created the world on a day. The term day is only for you to be able to relate to Hashem.
Are you saying this or this is
I'm
something?
Saying this.
No, because what I read in the Malbim yesterday helps that along, what his translation of when it says Bereshis Boro Elokim Es Hashamayim V'Yetzer, when it says Vayera Vayvoke Yom Echad, it should say, since it says Yom Sheni Yom Shlishi, it should say Yom Rishon. So he's telling you the concept of a day. It says Vayera Vayvoke Yom Echad.
The creation of a day is one day. But before that,
right,
in the Bereshis, that didn't exist.
That's how we
there was no Zman.
So now we have a concept of what a day means.
And now we're going. Now we're continuing. Eiles soldos Hashem baretz bi'boram biyoyim. Now we're going. We're picking up from there.
Right.
Once already we're referring to Hashem's creation as with the term biyoyim. Now know your place. You have a Zman, but Hashem he has no Zman. Know your place. Hashem is yud kei vavkei hoyohodia.
Anytime you can see it in other places, I don't remember if he gives the examples, but I can give you examples. When it says the word Echad, it doesn't mean first, it means concept.
Okay, so that's why I want to make that point. That's why Hashem created Zman with the word Biyoyim.
By the way, the first day it says, Ha'aretz Haita, Yopes, Ha'yom Elokim Yehi, Va'yehi. Yehi is future.
So very nice. Hashem created the principle of Zman. Hoyeso.
Vayehi is past.
Vayehi.
Right.
But Yehi.
Yehi.
Very nice. There itself you find the creation of Zman. Beautiful. Okay, so this is an idea. This is an independent idea. Now let's go to another idea. I grew up in more of the modern world. And I hear this a lot. I hear this idea a lot. And there are many people who struggle, they devote their whole life to this, is to reconcile science with the Torah. Here, a Meiselman in Eretz Yisrael and Torah Smaisha, he wrote a whole fantastic book. It's a very, very dense book about the reconciliation of halacha with Torah and science. Okay, any people? What? Or Meiselman? You know, there are thousands of books like this. He's a very big guy. He's a right-wing Rosh Hashiva. Meiselman is a genius. He has a PhD from MIT. He's related to Yoshe Berry. He's a cousin of Yoshe Berry, I think. And Meiselman, married to Shaw. He's an assuredly genius. A PhD from MIT. He has a very popular literature called Torah Simoisha. Okay, Tomo. Tomo. It's a very popular issue in Eretz Yisrael. It's a right-wing yeshiva. He's a meshuladik of genius. And he wrote an encyclopedia. It's very, very dense. It takes a lot of work just to go through one page of his words in English. It's a very chashuv sefer to reconcile contradictions between science and halacha, or the Talmud. The Gemara will tell you certain principles. Spontaneous generation. According to Chazal, there's something called spontaneous generation. Or need to go to a laboratory. There's no such thing as spontaneous generation. Talk about Zman. How do you reconcile Trefa's case? He has a whole book. This is just one of 100 books. There are people out there that thrive on this. And I still do. It's wonderful stuff. And I got no problem with it in Kol HaKavod. It's unbelievable. One of the things that the all of these type of books like to talk about is the Big Bang. The Big Bang. How do we reconcile what the secular scientists, their ideas? Is there anything that we're aminim? We have to right away, you know, they're suspicious. If they're not aminim, they say ideas. They could be apikorsis, but they have some very interesting things, carbon dating, and there's this, and there's this, and I'll be derech hateva. People who understand these things, I certainly don't have anything. They say, you know, you just can't brush all these things away. You just can't go and just dismiss everything, you know. You have to listen, study, devote yourself, and appreciate the science, and then try to understand how this you can reconcile this with science. So one thing that I've heard only 1,000 times, and we've all heard 1,000 times, is that Ma'aseh Bereishis is a very popular concept, is that when it says creation took place in 7 days, no one's denying the 7 days, but time itself evolved. This is a Yiddish concept, which you'll see people talk about this. Even how much time is a day? How much time is Sunday? Hashem created on Yom Rishon the Shemayim Vayom Yehi Or. Vayehi Or? Vayar Elokim Esar Ki Toiv. Vayar Vayivok Yom Echad. How long did that whole parsha take? In from our terms, 24 hours. Look at the clock. From the time it said Vayehi Or until there was light and everything was functioning, exactly 24 hours, not a second less, not a second more, an hour. Understanding, you can take your watch. You can take your watch from today, wind it up. Someone still has one of those, and go back in time. Go in a time machine. Go back 5,782 years, approximately, and stand there and time it. Time it with your quartz watch, your whatever watch you have on you. You go and you time it. And it'll be exact from the time Hashem said Vayim Yehi Or Vayehi Or until Vayehi Vayevok Yom Echad, exactly 24 hours. So people, you know, the scientists are not very happy with that. You go to MIT, they're not gonna be very happy with hearing that. So what are they gonna tell you? They're gonna tell you, you know, this, and some Talmidei Chachamim of the greatest stature will tell you it's not a steer. A day, Yom Rishon, maybe took 5,000 years.
No, the Big Bang theory says day number one was approximately 4 billion years.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I mean,
4 billion years,
it breaks
okay.
It down to what fine. The age of the Earth that they give it today.
Fine, whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, it just breaks it down. And each day, as the world expanded, got less time.
Right.
It's like you're stuck on a highway in a traffic jam. It could take you 5 hours to get to Coney Island Avenue if there's a backup. But as traffic, the world expands, you go faster. Until it hits when Adam was created,
right.
It becomes 24 hours.
100%.
That's his concept in that book.
He must have this in the safe. But Meisner, I mean, for sure, must have this in the safe.
Yeah,
it can't be he doesn't. And it is all over the place. You don't have to go look, search very hard to have this. And people, the more knowledge you have,
lines.
The more you can work with this. The second day, how long did it take? The third day.
Right.
So time, when it says I have a vocare, doesn't mean it took 24 hours.
Right.
Okay. Now, by the way, just as one little prat, when Apollo landed on the moon, they prepped them. The world, how old was the world, they believe, the Big Bang theory?
Now it's like they go for like 13 billion years or something like that.
And they made a calculation in Shemayim, this dust also, this
right.
Dust over here. So they made a calculation of how much, over whatever billions of years this world is, how much dust they expect to be on the moon. And they figured it was like a foot or two. So they practice with boots. You know, this stuff they brush under the rug. Just like today everything is a lie on the news. They brush, the astronauts, when they practice in this world, before they went to Apollo, they practice with the assumption of what is a certain term, how much dust they can expect to find on the moon. When they landed, Neil Armstrong, they landed, there was almost no dust. There was a little teeny amount of dust. According to their own calculations, as they predicted, the amount of dust they found on the moon is exactly what would accumulate over 6,000 years. Isn't that a little surprising? If the world is 5 billion years old, and they made a calculation, there would be this amount of dust, and they wore boots, and they practiced in their training sessions of how much dust to find on the go. Look at this, there's a whole bunch of things like this. They tell you all over proof that the world is 5 billion years old, and there are mounds of evidence that the world is exactly scientifically only 6,000 years old, but that stuff has been censored, scrubbed clean from the internet because that would shake you up. That, you know, maybe talk of the Bible, there's something to the Bible. All right, but put it aside. Okay, so you hear a lot of this story, and who's to say? Listen, there's Gedolei Yisrael, even the previous, way back years, about these type of principles. Okay, but now I'll give you another example, which is very interesting. This I never heard of until this morning. I saw this. This is how shocking to me. We know the Torah tells us they lived. How many years did they live? In time of the Bereishis. 990, what was the oldest person? 969. And this one 500, 400, 700, 800, all these numbers. Wow, unbelievable, they lived so long. Until after the Mabul, then it started going down until later on, until we have today, David HaMelech, 70 years old. The Gvuro, Shmonim, fine, until we have what we have today. So someone has said, I've never heard this before, but rather he has this in my Sefer. Tamari has the Sefer over there, she'll read it to you later. I was going to leave it there. And it says there that some Gedolim want to say, really, they didn't live any longer than we live today. Zman, listen to this Chiddush, before the Mabul, the length of a day was just much shorter than it is today. The earth rotated around the sun, or the moon rotated around at an accelerated speed. So today, a day is 24 hours. Except 24 hours. A second was the seconds, or the minutes, or the hours, shows manios in ancient times, which is Mashiach. So you wake up in the morning, and before you turn around, it's already time for dinner.
If you had it down all day.
It's time for dinner. You wake up in the morning, sun comes up, and before you, so we're living in a slow motion world. It's like, you know, a tape on a broken record. Hello, how are, we're living in a slow motion world. They lived. So therefore, the reason why the human body lives for 120 years. It lives for 70 years, 80 years, nothing changed. In 6,000 years, nothing changed. It's just that the day was just a much shorter day. Time went much faster. The earth rotated around the sun much faster. Today, it takes for the sun to go around, to orbit the earth, to orbit the sun, 365 days. It didn't take so long. It got around in 150 days, in 100 days. Everything just happened fast. The body has not changed. Time has changed. It's like the Maaseh of the Rav Chutner I told you. Someone that I told you so many times, Rav Chutner, he used to teach, he came into yeshiva when he was 26 years old in Chaim Berlin. He got a job there, they gave him a job. He came in one day wearing a gray suit, one day a green suit, one day a white suit with a mustache, a goatee. He had a Talmud. After 1 year, 2 years, he left the yeshiva. He hadn't seen Rav Chutner for 25, 30 years. He comes back, one of his relatives was honored at a dinner. So he comes to Chaim Berlin for the dinner. He didn't see Rav Chutner for 30 years. He comes, he sees Rav Chutner sitting at the dais. It's his yeshiva, the whole yeshiva at the dais. He's wearing this long frock, big hat, big beard. And he says, Rabbi Chutner, he remembers when he was 26 years old. What happened to you? What happened to you? What's with the beard, the hat? I remember you. You were my Rebbe. You were 26 years old. You come with a mustache. You wore white suits and green suits. Shafuta says to him, I don't believe the stance is true, but he said anyway, I believe he said, I didn't change one bit. I'm the same person I was when you knew me 30 years ago. Times have changed. Times have changed. Now, in these times, you have to wear a kapata and a big hat and have a beard. I'm the same person. Not true. a blazer, right? Well, times have changed. Okay, same thing. Adam's DNA, man lives for 120 years. He lives 70. Nothing changes. The world changed. Something happened at the time of the Mabel where the earth ran out of gasoline. It just doesn't spin so fast. Or they have they put up some signs on the way around, speed limit. You know, when the earth goes around the sun, it used to be, you know, you can go as fast as you want. No. Speed limit now, 55 miles an hour, not too fast. So Mamela, a person, only lives for 70, 80, 90, 100 years. It used to be, he lived for 1,000 years. They live 1,000 years. It's just the days were a lot of time has changed. Okay, I never heard this thing before. It's interesting. Most of them tell me you're out of your mind for saying this. It's in that safer. It's in the safe. I'll show you later on.
There is another one.
What?
What's the name of this YouTube
app? I'll show you. I'll show
you. Catching a fly, you move as quick as you can.
You'll never catch.
Because they figured out that their the fly's sense of time.
Yeah.
Wow. Quicker than yours.
Isn't that amazing?
So when
sense of time.
When you're moving 1 second to catch it, for the fly, it's already 10 minutes.
Wow.
So when you just
that's
thinking
amazing
of your
said.
Hand.
That's amazing.
I've seen people catch flies. I know people can catch flies.
No one knows. No one's in the, no flies are going to come and tell us what's going on, right?
No flies.
But it's a fascinating thing, that their sense of time. I never heard that before. It's an incredible thing.
Well, what is true is that they have done it, documented that as you go deeper into space, time doesn't move at the same time.
It's string theory.
Yeah, I'm saying.
That's string theory.
It's very.
And
what
Mayer's saying is, that's the string theory. Theoretically, you can go back in time. If you go high enough into outer space, time is much slower, and then you wait there, and then you come back quickly. You've gone back in time, theoretically. It's something called string theory.
Right.
He in the radio in the morning. Larry used to always talk about it. He'd be obsessed with this string theory, going back in time. He loved this idea. He's an interviewed scientist, his dream to go back in time. You have to go way, you have to go so far up in Shemayim in order to reach such a time to slow down to such a degree where you go there and then somehow, I don't know, you know, the whole cheshem, how you can go back in time. But you're saying, or Meir is saying something that is mind-boggling, right. Is that animals, each creature, has a different appreciation of time. That's an amazing thing. All right, so these are very nice ideas, and as I told you, they are Gedolei Yisrael, really the greatest of the great, that take these principles and they work with it in order to reconcile the Chachmei Umay So'olam with some very, you know, Chochma Ba'amim Tamim. It used to be, I don't know if you say it anymore. Chochma ba'amim tamim.
Who said what they say is chochma?
Oh, okay. So you have to know that they're saying the emes. It's not korach.
Yeah.
And today, unfortunately, there've been a lot of the giluyim. That a lot of things, everything is politicized over chochma. But it used to be amol. It used to be in time of Chazal, there was such a thing that had a chochma ba'amim tamim belief. You know, when they came out with the vaccine, it was the biggest rabbanim. They all use this principle. My own cousin Herschel Schachter and all amamish everywhere. But he said, Chochma bo'amim tamim. If the Umay So'olam tell us this is good, how to go about dealing with certain issues, medical issues, tamim, believe them. Don't challenge, tamim. Okay, this is now, unfortunately, a lot of the revelations, which everyone should be minded themselves, and reach their own conclusions. It's a very fast, but there's such a thing. You can't deny that. You can't deny the principle of Chochmah Ba'am Tamin. So you're just going to just, oh, no, no, no. The Torah says 6,000 years. I don't want to hear what you tell. Carbon dating, throw it in the garbage. You can't do that. You can't just take carbon dating, throw it in the garbage. Chochmah Ba'am Tamin. No, no, let's discuss this. Okay. So this is the only interesting Ha'ara. A very interesting point in this Sefer called Gibbs. I've already got the name of the Sefer. Three volumes. Gibbs. What's it called?
His name is
Gibbs.
I know, alright. I've read things from him.
Das Kanis. Das Kanis. Phenomenal Sefer. It's become an instant classic. Okay. This Sefer, they can't keep enough of them on the shelves. Three volumes on the parasha. Phenomenal Sefer. So he writes there, I don't remember who he writes from, he says something which really shook me up. I was always into this, yeah, that's right. To reconcile science with halacha. 100%. But he says something very interesting. He says, when you do that, you gotta be very, very careful. Because you're, in essence, you're trying to limit Hashem. One of the basic principles of Emunah is, Tamari, thank you very much. One of the basic principles of Emunah is, Hashem is limitless. There is nothing Hashem can do. To start with the premise that Hashem cannot make the Shemayim and the Aretz in one day. You decide. I decide. I'm the Baldov, I'm the Balabas here. And I am going to make a decision that the Ribbono Shel Olam cannot create the Shemayim and the Aretz in 24 hours. He can't do it. He just can't do it. He needs 5 billion years. No, for the second day of creation, no, I'll let you do it in 1 billion years. For the third day, 500,000 years. Who are you? Who are you to say that Hashem, you're limited? You're limited. I'm going to decide you're limited. You need 5 billion years. Because why? Because some scientists in MIT, they tell you they've gone down to the earth, they've done some experiments, they've come to this conclusion, this can't be. So we have to satisfy them. And how do we satisfy them? By saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're limited. You can't, like, you know, the buses, you know, they have the B11, the B6, and sometimes limited. We don't stop on every street. Too big, you go to Coney Island, we're not stopping for you. Limited service, limited. Who do you think you are to limit Hashem? If it's MS, it's MS. It's a wonderful exercise in Torah and Avodah to reconcile. Why not? Why not reconcile? Lahadil Taru Lahadira. It's Hashem's world. It's an incredible world. 100%. But the only point he makes, and this really, I don't know, for some reason I really have a geschmack in this, is it's a wonderful thing to do. But don't come with an attitude. This is how it has to be. Because when you behave like that, you're really going against the grain of what Judaism is all about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a HaKoyl Yochel. There is nothing that Hashem can do. Hashem is infinite. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's the basic. We're just cockroaches here. We're not even that. We're nothing. Kenei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't come with an attitude that it can't be that Hashem will create the Shemayim and the Aretz 24 hours on the dot. If Hashem wants, he can do it. I remember this story. I wanted to see it again, get the exact details. I don't understand. There's some missing information about the story. There was a person that came to the Chazon Ish. You have to work out the dates. Something doesn't make sense about the story, but I believe it's true to the story. Others, I'm going to say it. The person was deathly ill, and he told the Chazon Ish that the doctor said he's going to die very soon. I don't remember exactly. So the Chazon Ish said to him, listen, don't worry. I think they actually have a week left to live. So the Chazon, listen, Hashem created half of the world in three days. 6 days of creation, right? 6 days. Hashem created half of the world in 3 days. You don't think he can find for you a refuah in a week? 3 days later, penicillin arrived in Eretz Yisrael, and they gave him a dose, and he was cured. It was, penicillin was created. 3 days later, Hashem created the world. Half of the world he created in 3 days. Don't worry, he'll find the solution for you. Don't worry, they tell you that in 1 week you're going to be dead. 3 days later, it was a new thing. Penicillin that they created, obviously they didn't create overnight. It took years to, when they created, but it arrived in Eretz Yisrael by his doctor. Oh, let's give him penicillin. He was cured. 1, 2, 3. Don't limit Hashem that he can't create the Shemayim and the Aretz in 24 hours. Knew you have a mahaluk of how it can take 5 billion years. Beautiful. Ma'atevi ma'noim. Lahagdil Torah lahadira. But it's the attitude. The attitude is, it says in the Torah, Vayi'ere vayivoker yoyim echad. Knew? What does yoyim echad mean? It means 24 hours. So what are you looking to reinvent the wheel? Okay, that's one idea. No, she was another idea. It's a very similar idea. It's very mysterious that the Rambam doesn't. We know when it comes to Zman Kriya Shema. Zman Kriya Shema. What is Zman Kriya Shema? Look at this. Oh, that's the Morgan Avraham in the Gra. Oh, what's the Morgan Avraham in the Gra? How do you define the day? Shos Zmanios. No, Shos Zmanios. We look at the Shach. Shach is relatively recent. Shos Zmanios. The day is defined by. It's every day is different. Every day is the sun. In the winter time, we have short days and long nights. In the summer, we have short nights and long days. Every day, an hour is redefined. Sometimes an hour is 45 minutes, and sometimes it's an hour and even 20 minutes, right? Is that the max? Something like that?
Well, in New York, an hour 15.
Hour and 15 minutes. Hour and 15 minutes, 45 minutes. Oh, wait a minute. What is an hour? Is an hour 60 minutes, or is an hour 40? Well, it depends on the day. The day, you have a day, when it's light outside, that's a day. Calculate, divide that period of time to 12 hours. Oh, and you have now who's the one who really says, who's the one who talks about Shos Zmanios? The one that says Shos Zmanios, I'm going to move the Shem, I'm going to move the Shem, but basically, generalities, it's the Rambam. The Rambam is the one who invented Shos Zmanios. The Rambam, it doesn't say Beferish anywhere in the Gemara. All the Gemara says, when do you say Kriya Shema? Oh, 3 hours. Very nice. What does that mean? How long is an hour? When does the day begin? When is Zman Tfila? 4 hours. When is Chatzos? The middle of the day. That's all it says in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't tell you when the day begins, the day ends. It is the Rambam. The Rambam is the one who invented.
Well, they did it. No clocks were invented yet.
Okay, so. Sundials. So sundials are very accurate.
Shos Zmanios.
Water clocks.
Okay, but who invented this thing? Who invented this thing called Shos? So the truth is, the machlokes is Rishonim. It's not so simple. The Rambam is the one, and Rambam is relatively recent, like 750 right. years ago. I mean, the Rambam is a newcomer. What are they doing until the Rambam? The Rambam is the only one. This is a medrash. This is a medrash that he brings out a medrash that's Meramis to the Rambam, a right to the Rambam. But the Rambam is the only, the first one in print to not put the nail in the coffin. There's something called Shos Zmanios. Unbelievable. It's a very recent, and what's also even more shocking, it's so shocking that the first one to talk about Shos Zmanios can be the Rambam, which is from the later Rishonim. Not the latest, but on the scale of Rishonim, he's not from the Rashi. What about Rashi? Is there any mention in Rashi about Shos Zmanios? It doesn't seem like. Okay, very good. The Rambam did a very big toiva. He invented Shos Zmanios. But he went and he stopped literally in the middle. It's like a person hits a home run out of the ballpark and it gets a second base. Enough. Enough. I walked around 2 bases. Let me go back into the dugout. If you don't walk around all the bases, you don't get credit for the home run. So if it shows money, when does it start? Does it start with sunrise to sunset? Or does it start with dawn to dusk? Why couldn't the Rambam finish off the game? Every day, he says, is calculated. The day begins when it gets light and ends when it gets dark. And you take that period of time and you divide it into 12. And each hour is a variable hour. Every day it changes. Kriya Shema, 3 hours. Shos Marios.
Right.
Oh, but excuse me, Rambam. Once you're being megala to the world, there's something called Shos Marios. Please follow through. Does that mean when the sun rises to the sun sets, like the gra? Or does that mean from dawn, Aloy Sashachar, to Tsei Sakachovin? No. There's not one word in all of the works of the Rambam. Will you believe this? Not even one word in all the works of the Rambam telling us how to calculate Shos Marios. He tells us everything is based on Shos Marios. But not one word, if it's like the Magen Avraham, which only came 500 years later, whatever it is, or like the Gra, which says that it's like the Gra from Alois HaShachar, dawn to dusk, or from sunrise to sunset. How could you just drop us in the middle? You can make it take someone, oh, you want to run? Yeah, I'll give you a ride. You want to ride to Lakewood? Of course, get in the car. Come to the Garden State Parkway, get out of the car. You pull over onto the shoulder, get out of the car. I asked you for a ride to Lakewood. I got you half there. 2 minutes for you, get out of my car. That's what the Rambam did for us. He built a highway for us, shows him, drops us off in the middle, doesn't tell us. There's no answer to this question. Now, here's the chiddush of the Rambam.
The thing is that each mitzvah
has
a different...
Oh, let's come to this. Oh, so okay, when it comes to this.
Hametz v'matzah, or she's a tzitzit.
Okay, we're going to come to this. I'm going to come to this in 1 second. I just want to point out those who disagree with the Rambam. And this is an incredible chiddush, an incredible insight, and it makes a lot of sense. And who knows what they really, halacha evolves. The way they practice halacha in the earlier generations is clearly not the way they practice halacha today. And elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. We have a mesor that before the Churban Bayis Sheni, they wore tefillin Rabbeinu Tam. No one wore. They made a brach on Rabbeinu Tam, what we call Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. What we call Rabbeinu Tam, that's what they made a brach on. We have a mesor. This is what. For some reason, after the Churban, the halacha changed. It's very that now Klal Yisrael are going to make a bracha on what we call Rashi Tzol. And you don't make a bracha on what we call Rabbeinu Tam Tzol. Before the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Messiah was, you make a bracha on what we call Rabbeinu Tam. What happened? Eilu ve'eilu diri elokim chayim. Those who disagree with the Rambam say something which is shocking, but yet it makes a lot of sense. And the day I'm doing on the psukim over here, a day vayi erev vayihi voiker yoin echad. And there's more, there's a Rashi, it's Chazal. A day is broken up into two parts. A day is 24 hours. The first 12 hours are called day. The second 12 hours are called night. From 6 a.m. equinox, the focal point. That's where it all starts. From 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. is day. Don't confuse me with the facts if there's light outside, if it's dark outside. The day begins at 6 a.m. The day is over at 6 p.m. At 6 p.m., the night begins, and the night ends at 6 a.m. I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to hear about if it's light outside, it's dark outside. Shabbos. When does Shabbos begin? Shabbos begins every single week, B'li Yetzer Min HaKlal, at 6 p.m. Friday afternoon. Don't confuse me that, you know, it got dark at 4:20. It's already pitch black dark. So it got dark. Who cares? It's 4:20. It's dark outside. Drive your car. Do whatever you want to do. Do whatever you want to do. There's a makar for this. Yeah. I mean, chashom, you know, halacha, chelosh, they'll kill you in Bezdin for this, okay? You'll get killed in Bezdin for this. What I'm saying is, the day is 6 p.m., 6... Oh, now here is the beautiful principle about this. The beautiful principle is, well, what do you mean? How could you say that? That's total nonsense. Night and day is defined by dark and night. So this is a very powerful. The words of Chazal are, the day borrows from the night, and the night borrows from the day. And when a whole year goes on, they pay off each other. The loive umishalim. This is very powerful. According to this approach, let's be very, very strict now. Shabbos begins 6 p.m. Whether you like it or not, whether it's dark, it doesn't make any difference. Shabbos ends at 6 p.m. It can be, the sun can be shining. 6 p.m. Shabbos. What are you talking about? It's the light outside. We give that as a loan. Anything after, in a situation where the sun is still shining, the sun has lent. Halva. The sun has lent its time to the night. It's 6 p.m., the day is over. Oh, but the sun is shining. The sun says, listen, I have some extra. You know what? Let me give it to you as a loan. I'm giving my zman to the night. You know, the night, you could have it. Because the day is going to come when I'm going to need it. The day is going to come when, the winter, it's going to be 4 o'clock, 4:20, and it's pitch black dark. What do you mean? It's dark. It's day until 6 o'clock. Night, pay me back. Be mishalim. Pay up the loan. Now here's the chiddush. Built into the creation of zman is, it's in the DNA of this world to borrow and to lend. No one in this world has everything. No one. There's no one that has everything. Every single creature in this world needs to borrow. You're born, who's going to pay you back? You're born in this world. I don't have a food. I don't have a baby, infant. An infant doesn't have. So the baby, it borrows from the parent. The parent supports the baby. The parent provides food and shelter. The baby owes the parent big time. The baby has to pay the parents back. You come and you go to yeshiva, I can't pay tuition. Okay, we'll take you for free. The day comes, you make a parnasa, you have success. You know, time is now for you to pay back the yeshiva that was good to you. This nida is literally part of the DNA of my celebrations. Vayihi erev, vayihi voyker, yoin echad. Hashem created zman. Day begins 6 a.m. Whether you like on the equinox, that's taka when it gets light. And when does it end? It ended 6 p.m. The equinox, exactly 12 hours. But the next day, it's not exactly. So you know what? You know what? You're missing some of your light. Why don't you borrow? Borrow this man from your neighbor. But don't forget to pay him back when he needs it from you. It's an incredible principle. So zman is the Rambam. The Rambam, now according to this, and this is some pack of Paschal and Yisla Halacha, the Machmer both ways. When is zman, so it's zman kriyashma? Every, you don't take those calendars in the shul? 9:24, 9:21, 9:23, 3 seconds, 3/10 of a second. Of all the apps, you can throw them in the garbage. Zman kriyashma every single day is 9 o'clock. Every single day, whether you like it or not. 9 o'clock. The day begins at 6 o'clock. Zman kriyashma ends at 9, 3 hours later. When is zman tfila? 10 o'clock. Vizehu. The daylight savings time? 10 o'clock. A lot of people come to shul 10 o'clock, daylight savings time, you have until 10 o'clock. Every Shabbos. You don't know the charts. Now, on the other hand, what are you talking about? It's matzah, you can eat matzah. Well, Rabbi Yossi alluded to this. There are certain mitzvahs that it doesn't just say on this day. It says on this day, toichlu matzahs bo'ere. There are certain calendar days when Hashem tells you to do a mitzvah. I don't just want you to do the mitzvah on the calendar day. I want you to do the mitzvah on the calendar day after it's dark.
Yeah.
So when would Pesach begin? Let's say Pesach in the year, let's say at 6 o'clock in Pesach, the 15th day of Nisan, 6 o'clock, the sun is shining. But according to what we just said, 6 o'clock, it's now the 15th day of Nisan. So go eat your matzah. No. Don't eat your matzah now, even though you're right, the calendar day has arrived. Toichu matzah is bo'erev. Hashem, when you eat your matzah, I don't want you to eat your matzah on borrowed time. No borrow. It makes, gives you a whole new meaning that when they left Egypt, when the Hashem said, Vayish'alu, they borrowed from the Egyptians clothing. They borrowed. They did borrow. They borrowed, the Bizas and Zul borrowed. You can borrow from your fellow men, but in Zman, you have to understand the difference, whatever. But it's, you're right, it's now the 15th day of the month, but you still can't eat the matzah. There's a new Tanai. The Tanai is, it has to be dark. Kriya Shema. You gotta say it twice. It says, yeah, you can say Kriya Shema. It's not, but it's the Uveshach B'cho, when you go to sleep. Is it now the time to go to sleep? Well, it's only 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, it's not time to go to sleep yet. Just because it's pitch black dark, I mean, you have to, everything becomes, each mitzvah has two dinim. There's the calendar date, and the calendar is not negotiable, there's no negotiations here. 6 to 6. You borrow and you lend, you borrow and you lend. But certain mitzvahs demand that it be done bo'erev, baboker, when you wake up, when you go to sleep. The bottom line is, halacha l'maisa, the beginning of a day has really, and the end of the day, halacha l'maisa, take one thing out of the shir, has three parts to it. There are three parts to every single day and night. Number one, 6 o'clock. That's number one. Is it past 6 o'clock? Number two, is it both, you have to take both the Mogen Avram and the Grah. It's past 6 o'clock. Is it also past the Zman of Alois HaShachar, when there, you can see in the sky some light? And number three is, did the ball of the sun actually come above the horizon? It's not, the day has not fully begun until you have all, or you have really, you have all three. You could have one without the other. But the shleimus of the beginning of the day is, it's past 6 o'clock, and both, you know, it can be before 6 o'clock, let's say it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and the rays of the sun have begun to, on the horizon. It's past Alois HaShachar. So, many things in halacha l'maisa, we do shows manis. Let's not kid ourselves. Halach. That's right, the day. The rays of the sun are in the sky. It's only 4 o'clock in the morning. Okay? Alois HaShachar. Halacha l'maisa, you can daven shachas already. Oh, but it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Alois HaShachar. But the sun didn't come up yet. No, so the sun didn't come up yet. Who says the sun has to come up? Let's say now it's 5:30 in the morning. Oh, you're a new madrego. The ball of the sun came above the horizon. Hashem called the Or Yom. There's a whole long, you go, the Or is called Yom. Oh, the ball of the sun is now, oh wow, we're in business. Excuse me, it's only 5:30 in the morning. The ball of the sun is above the horizon, but you're on borrowed time because it's not yet 6 o'clock. Oh, it's 6 o'clock. We are all through the Chut HaMesholosh. If the ball of the sun is above the horizon and it's past 6 o'clock, home run. Now that's not halacha. Let's not get carried away over here. This is shaloika halacha. Halacha l'maisa, everything basically, the only thing really counts. We don't talk about 6 o'clock. That's chutz l'machne. We don't do that. But there's not much recurrence to this. Halacha l'maisa, also alois hashachar is the ikar. The ball of the sun does not need to come above the horizon. So let's just clarify. There's halacha l'maisa, and then there's just, you know, pilpul halacha. Pilpul halacha, the day has not begun until you have all three. It's not enough the horizon, the or. Okay, that's one daraga. 6 o'clock is another darga, the ball of the sun. You have all three, it's past 6 o'clock and the ball of the sun is above the horizon, you've hit a home run. Halacha l'maisa, no such thing. Halacha l'maisa, we follow alois hashach. As long as there's a ray of light in the sky, it's already halachically called yoim. Okay, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Okay.